Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren, and alongside me is the two podcast thieves, Sarah Wells and slow ski intro girl, Jane Fawcett.
Oh, slow ski.
My gosh.
Now, let me just say a couple things. If you popped into your iTunes account last week, you would have seen an episode promptly titled Non-Christian.
Wasn't that clever?
Dave Johnson.
And we did not talk about non-Christians. We talked about the fact that you guys really enjoy me not being here. And
You know what? I will say it was a very proud moment when I listened to it. I listened to it that night. And I was pretty proud of us.
Which night did you listen to it?
A good show. What?
Which night did you listen to it?
That night.
Now, I thought you guys did a great job. Uh-huh. I think it's funny because Sarah told me today that one of our listeners, Daniel, right? Pernice.
Jane. Jane.
Jane.
We were talking about Jane.
He said he loved this episode, right?
Yeah.
Did he? No, he loved the episode where you and he said he loved the episode where you and Megan.
Sarah and Megan. And then I bet you he loved this episode even more.
I bet he did too.
And this episode, I will say, had more listeners than the last couple episodes we've had. Mm-hmm. More downloads than the last couple of episodes we had.
Boom.
And I just are the people trying to say something? Are the people trying to say like, hey, maybe Christian's not?
I think they're saying that they like my intro segment better than yours.
Okay.
That's probably what they're saying.
I will say, guys, I want to apologize here publicly in this public forum. I did not set you guys up to win, and I really apologize for that. And I hope that next time when I'm out of town, you guys can do it no problem. Cool?
We did it no problem the last time. So
Christian, is there anything else?
Just kidding.
Is there anything else you want to apologize to me for on this public forum?
Okay, well, earlier today, Sarah said, and this is a total joke, all right? Earlier today, Sarah said, I didn't like the movie WALL-E. And WALL-E, to me, is an unbelievable film. And I made a joke. It was not a serious thing. And I said, it's because you don't get it.
No, it's because you're not smart enough to get it.
It's because you're not smart enough to get it. And Sarah, I feel like you didn't take offense to it. But
no,
did you really?
I didn't. Right. I didn't, but he sat in front of a lot of people, and so
people kind of went nuts on me.
Yeah, I got a good reaction.
Yeah, but there were a lot of these.
I thought it was a pretty funny joke. Like I was like inside. I was like, "Oh, that was good. That was good."
Jane laughs at me all the time.
Sarah's stupid.
No, that's not what I meant. But honestly, guys, great job last week. I'm really glad you did it. It's good because our fans, they want to hear an episode every week. We actually gained like 2 or 3 fans on Facebook.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, you guys have the power to. Power of the people.
Rock 'em,
so
bop 'em.
Good job. But I'm back, so about 60 people will stop listening this week. But that's fine. I'm cool with that.
As it should be.
But yeah, I'm back from Israel. Chris Schultz is going to come on the show. We're going to chat about our trip in Israel together. And we will also talk about PJ's sermon yesterday about meat. And
that's what it's about, being a vegetarian.
Somebody not eating meat in the restaurant next to the temple. We'll call it what was the title?
The casino.
Yeah.
It's eating food offered to idols.
Yeah, eating food offers. I love his joke in the beginning where it's like, don't you guys struggle with eating food offers to idols? No? You guys don't struggle with that?
We'll wait till the sermon discussion.
So we'll talk about the sermon discussion and then we'll close out the show with some announcements. But this week's music, when we went to Israel, Brad was in our car and Brad had his iPad with him. And so as we were driving into Jerusalem, he played us some Modest Yahoo. And I was like super into it. I guess I've never heard Modest Yahoo.
Jerusalem.
And so we're going to play Modest Yahoo on today's episode in honor of our conversation about Israel. But it was great. Good trip. Modest Yahoo, I really like. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. Up next, we'll talk about the sermon, sermon discussion.
Myself in a high responsible? I am. I need to take the responsibility for somebody. I need to take responsibility for the people around me and love them and have my life go in a direction that I need to be concerned about and just looking out for the people around me that and making sure that what I am doing is going to be something that's going to be out of love for them, that's going to be best for them. And if it means that I don't do something that I actually know I could do, who cares? Just love. Love that person. Do what's best for them.
That was a clip from the sermon on this past Sunday. PJ spoke, and because Brad was obviously in Israel. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because we've been going through chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. It's just felt like, man, this is long, it's like but it's weeks, all good. Like, we talked about relationships, marriage, divorce, all of the above. I mean, it was good stuff. And now we kind of jumped into chapter 8, and it's like, food sacrificed to idols. What do you do with that? You know, and it just total difference of mm-hmm. what we've been talking about. But I think PJ did a really good job of not just talking about what the scripture said, but really how does this apply to us in today's world and to us now? And so essentially chapter 8 is all about there's food sacrificed to false gods in the temple, and they would have this leftover food. And so what they would do is they would have this temple restaurant next to the temple, and they would serve this food that was offered to these idols that was left over or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they would serve this food, and people would eat this food, and some people didn't care about it. They would eat this food, and it's no big deal. But other people in the church, they had a hard time with those people eating the food that was supposed to be sacrificed. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't want to. So the point of the message that Paul was writing to the church of Corinth was essentially just saying, look, it's not about you and what your preferences are. It's not about you and what you want, but it's more about like the heart of the thing. And this person feels like it's them sinning. So by you eating meat or by you eating the food offered to the gods or whatever, that in some way is going to cause them to stumble. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
I feel like you're just giving a really good sermon discussion yeah. right now. Like, you just gave a really good summary of the entire sermon.
So yeah. we're done? Dave, right, wrap it up.
We're good. Sermon discussion. All right,
well, all right. And coming up next.
So I know that for most people, they're going to go, what's the application there? Well, I think there was an application there, but maybe we'll get to that. What'd you guys' thoughts initially on the sermon?
Well, this isn't a serious note, it's more funny. But at the beginning, he said, like, do you ever wonder what to do with the, you know, extra communion food? Come on, what do you do with it? And yeah. I wonder that every time because I do the communion for Clovis. And so I always have these leftover, like, pieces of pita bread. And I've wondered, what do I do with it? Is it okay for me to eat it or do I throw it away? And then he pointed out, and that made me laugh. And not a lot of people could really identify with that, but I did.
I think I've talked about it on here before, but at Twin Lakes, my church before, uh-huh. it was required of the staff to eat the bread and drink the juice. Like, you couldn't.
The leftover?
The leftover. So they would always make extra because you didn't want it. They would do a loaf. So they would do a big loaf of bread and you'd peel it off.
Yeah.
And I mean, there were days where it was like low attendance and we're like trying to finish this bread and it was like rough.
Why did they make you finish it?
I believe they used this scripture and there was somebody in the church that just like, they thought it was like you were throwing away Christ's body and Christ's blood, so we're not going to like cause them to stumble.
Okay.
So we would eat it every single week, and we took communion every single week.
Oh,
so staff stayed behind and had to eat the bread and the grape.
Did you like bring cheese and deli meat?
Hey, who's bringing the salami this week, guys? No, I mean it was weird, but after 3 weeks, you're like, this is just normal.
Yeah.
You know,
and if you're doing it because of someone's conviction, then that's the point of this message that PJ said.
Right.
Like, you don't want to
do
cause
it
someone.
For the younger.
Yeah.
I mean,
I loved
the other guy.
Like, it was a really convicting message for me because thinking, I mean, not that I eat, you know, meat offered to idols, but the whole thinking of where the person next to you is at and live according, like, use your freedoms to say no, or use your freedoms to lift the other person up. And like at the end, he said, I have two questions for you. Like, who is in your sphere of spiritual influence and what do you really know them? Do you know where they struggle? Yeah. And I thought, well, I know who my spiritual influence people are. Oh, but I don't know. I guess I know where some of them struggle, but I don't know. I don't know where their hearts are on things.
Right.
So it was convicting for me to ask my people, where do you stand on this, this, and this? And how can I encourage you in that? Well, I haven't done it yet. Oh. like to knock on your door tonight, Jane.
Now this, I felt like this was a grid mesh is to tag along with the all things are permissible but not beneficial.
Yes. Yeah,
and I mean, it's that same kind of like you have the freedom to do this kind of stuff, but who in your sphere of influence are you causing to sin or causing to struggle in whatever that may be? And I mean, PJ is absolutely right. Like, do you really know the people in your sphere of influence? And do you really know the things that you do? Are they, without your knowledge, are they sinning or feeling like they think they're sinning because of something you're doing or whatever that may
be? Well, you remember that story that Brad gave about smoking cigars in the backyard and then this guy walked in and then it blew up into they were smoking weed and and this is so difficult for me. That, I mean, kind of falls along the same lines of like, if I go out to a bar and get a drink, like how do I know I'm not going to run into one of my like team members? And like, then what if they struggle with alcoholism or what if they struggle with, should I drink or should I not? And then they see me and, oh, okay, well, it's okay because Jane's doing it. There's just such a broader influence that is hard to think of in those moments, because I'll think like, I just want to go out with my girlfriends and get a drink. Like, that sounds fun. Yeah. But there's just, I remember one time I did see this guy that served on one of our teams and I was like, oh crap, what do I do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, what do I do?
And it's not like, again, you were in a fine position. You weren't like,
I was going one drink with girls who were getting one drink. Like nobody was going to get sloshed. And
sub Sarah, but
well, that's why we left her at home.
Right.
Can't trust her.
No, I mean, it's something that outside of the sphere of like eating meat in the temple or whatever, like it is, and we've talked about it a lot on the show before, but it is something that I'm becoming more and more in tune with and more just starting to think about a little bit more. And for me, it's like, what movies am I going to? And not necessarily like, can I handle them? Yeah, I can handle them, or they're fine for me or whatever that may be. But if somebody else knew I was going to that, or somebody who we've talked about my friend Johnny before, right? If he knows I go to these movies, then he thinks, well, that's perfectly acceptable for me.
It's like you're condoning it for him.
Right. And so he goes, well, I guess Christians, they're allowed to do whatever they want or whatever. And this same concept is like, if someone who doesn't eat meat, they see somebody who's eating meat and they go, well, that's totally fine. But for some reason, I feel like that's not right.
Yeah.
You know, then that other person needs to let go of their freedoms and put that down and go, it's not worth it.
Well, it's like what another like takeaway that PJ gave was that Jesus died for this person. Jesus gave his whole life for that person. So why can't I sacrifice my right for them? Like why am I so selfish? Why is there so much selfishness in me that I can't say, I'm not going to see that movie because what if whoever knows that I went and saw it and then it's fine for them? Or what if, I mean, this is a weird place to go, but like, what if I slept with my boyfriend? Then like, then somebody thinks, okay, well, Jane did it. So like, it's okay. Like, I can do it too.
No, I mean, and that is an issue we've been talking about here at the Well for the last couple of weeks. And it's just like, what you do in your personal life, you may think that other people don't know about it or whatever, but you are bending your freedoms. You are bending these things, and other people are going to be in tune with that, and they're going to associate that with Christianity.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to associate that with, that's okay. But the reality is that means that person's struggling with that issue. Mm-hmm. They're struggling to figure out if that's right or wrong. Is that okay or not? Mm-hmm. And you know, I know this is an example, but you sleep with your boyfriend, a non-Christian or even a Christian may be struggling with it that you have no idea about.
Right.
And so PJ talked about, who are the people that you are friends with or whatever, get to know them. But it's like, you have to realize your sphere of influence is much larger, especially us staff members. Brad always talks about like, the higher the ladder you climb, the more people can see your backside.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is so true for me. And I've got, you know, 200 kids that are looking every single move that I make, everything I do, because if they see one thing, they go, oh, I can do that. You know what I mean? I've had to have countless conversations with leaders of going, you need to take that down from your Instagram, or probably not a good idea to have that on your Facebook. Not upset, just not a good idea.
Yeah.
Not a good idea for you to promote, hey man, we're going to midnight showing of some R-rated movie or whatever. It's like, yeah, the movie's probably fine, but is that what you want to be portraying to a high school kid or a junior high kid? You know what I mean?
That's really cool that you're having those conversations, because those aren't easy.
And I like this stupid things. Like, there's a movie that came out called Real Steel recently, and it's like a Hugh Jackman movie about robots fighting. It's rated PG-13, and our junior hires are 11 and 12.
Yeah.
And I said, this is pointless. But there may be a kid who struggles with seeing other PG-13 movies, and you are now condoning a PG-13 movie by taking them to go see this movie. So I said, go see The Muppets. And you know what? Your conscience will be much better.
Yeah.
And you are sacrificing what you want for these kids for the benefit of the group as a whole. You know what I mean?
And so you like took them to a movie?
One of my leaders wanted to take his kids to go see Real Steel. And I said, Real Steel, kids in mind, says it's 100% appropriate. But the fact is that it's PG-13. Mm-hmm. And there are other PG-13 movies where I would not even let a high schooler kid go to. And I just go, if you say yes to this, that means you're saying yes to other things. And that's across the board. You know what I mean? You're saying yes to a cigar. What else are people thinking? Well, if that person smokes a cigar, then it's totally cool if I smoke weed.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Or that person, I don't know, I saw that person make out with his girlfriend, so it's totally okay with me to do that as well. And so I know this isn't where PJ wanted us to go. And it, like, that's not what the scripture is pointing at. It's talking about meat in a temple. But the reality is that this is what we deal with in today's age, in today's 21st century, you know?
I think another, and this is kind of like taking it on a tangent, but just something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, even before the sermon, is where I'm really finding my identity. And is it in Christ, or is it in opinions of my friends or opinions of other people? And if my identity is fully in Christ, then me sacrificing my right isn't going to be that big of a deal, you know, because then I'm not going to think like, I don't know, it sounds a lot better in my head, but it's not going to mean that much to me. It's like going out and having a drink, or going out and seeing a rated R movie, or whatever, going to a concert, anything. Like, it's not going to mean that much to me to give up if I'm fully committed to following the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
There's someone that I know, she will not let herself watch a ton of TV, like I think barely any, because she knows that it's just not good for her to watch a ton of TV, and that she's not a part of conversations now where we're talking about this show or this show. And she's totally okay with that, because she knows I have to do what's best for me, and that's not best for me.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see her just not even care that everyone's talking about it, and she's not a part of the conversation.
I think the identity piece even brings it back to conversations we've had before on here, but it's like, where does your identity lie? And even in the concept of this whole temple thing, it's like, man, if your identity is in Christ, if who you are is in Christ, then this type of stuff shouldn't matter. Mm-hmm. Who cares if you eat meat or not? Mm-hmm. But the reality is, in Christ, your identity is in that, and you can give that up for anybody and anything. And you can give up whatever that – anytime you need to give something up, you should be able to do that. But the hard part is recognizing, what should I be giving up in order – because I don't know what my sphere of influence is saying. So that is the hard part that I think PJ is trying to get at us, and going, like you were saying, talk to people, figure out what do they really struggle with, you know?
And I think that's a good thing to kind of camp out on for a minute, to say, like, if you are in a situation where you just don't feel right, that's the Holy Spirit in you saying, Jane, don't do that. Like, you don't need that. Mm-hmm. And just to consider, like, it's not – you're not feeling that tension for no good reason. Like, you're not, like, it's the Holy Spirit in you saying, listen to this, you know, like,
totally,
and pray about it and figure it out for your,
Until that someone, said this yesterday, until you know where people stand, it's better to err on the side of safety.
For sure.
So say you're with a group of friends and you're watching a movie, and say, like, you know, someone brings out beer and you don't know where people stand, just don't partake, because it's easier to err on that side, because you don't know where everyone there other than the person passing it out could be struggling with it. You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. And I think that this is just something that it's something a person continually needs to process and continually needs to think through every situation they're in and who are the people in their lives. Yeah. So I think that's a good place to end. you know, one last thing is like, as a vegetarian, a lot of Christian vegetarians try and use, like, misquote this verse and take it way out of context. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, like, if anybody's been thrown this verse from a vegetarian, this is not the scripture you would use. So, just want to toss that out there because okay. it's All not right. in the same context. Mm-hmm. But
up let it fly out there like meat.
That's right.
Meat All right. doesn't fly.
All right.
Remember that one drink Jane had?
Oh my god! Starting to affect her. Man, is it hot in here?
All right. So up next, we got our interview with Chris Schultz talking about Israel. Enjoy some more Modest Yahoo.
Every day I pray to get to know ya. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around, all around, everything without too negative, but I believe, yes, I believe. I said that I believe. I stand on my own feet, one baby, right down on one knee. I fight with all of my might and get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in. I believe Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in. I believe how the darkness comes light, twilight and to the high. Crown lights burning up, how to do the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. Feeling my love will be falling and ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be falling and ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God songs of love and healing.
All right, welcome back. We are here with my new BFF,
That's right.
Christopher Schultz. How are you, Chris?
Christopher. I'm doing good, Christian. How about yourself?
Doing well. Now, Chris and I had the privilege of spending 2 weeks in Israel together, and we're going to get to that here in a second. But maybe just quick update on kind of who you are, what you do here at The Well. So what's your job here at The Well, Chris?
Yeah, I serve as the Spiritual Formation Director at the AM Services at North. It's just a fancy title for work people who work with life group leaders.
And what did you do before Spiritual Formation? Because you've been around here for a while. So.
Yeah, been on staff July 1st, 2 years. Before then, I was the campus pastor for North for all five services and kind of have worked my way out of that job. And
that's a big job.
It was. A lot of people, lot of services. Jane and I hung out a lot.
Yeah, I was Chris's admin.
Yeah, you started out, came to The Well as Chris's admin.
Right.
We stole her from Hume.
Now, yeah. Our producer, Andrew, would want me to bring this up because we get good laughs about
that
it.
Chris
but what was your first job at The Well?
Oh, my first job at The Well was I was actually the admin for Andrew in the missions department.
I think some people like to call it a man-sistant.
Yes, I think that's what I was. I was a little underqualified for that position, but it was good.
I think you were probably overqualified.
Well, maybe a little bit.
Well, Andrew and I always go, that was the strangest thing. Like, Andrew goes, like, I didn't want to give him work because I felt bad about it, you know? And you're older than him, so.
Oh, yeah, by a few years.
I'm sorry. I don't know why it's funny. All right, I'm moving on. So now in your current position, you are just for the AM. So you used to be the North Campus pastor over everything and right. now just the AM. Do you right. do midweek also?
No, I attend midweek. My okay. family and I, we go there and hang out. But no, my responsibilities are primary AM. What's funny for us is that PJ was actually, they were actually looking at PJ back in the day for that campus pastor right. role.
For the North Campus.
Which yeah. I never knew about until we started interviewing him again for the position and then found out we were both kind of applying for the same job.
That's right.
So ironically, now we share the same office and he holds that role and I kind of work
there
under him.
There you go. Yeah, that's I remember good. Meeting him. He came in like for a little interview visit here. Yeah. So now, Chris, you mentioned your family. Maybe give a quick update. You used to be a Fresno Christian guy.
Yeah.
Your family, what are the names of your kids, all of the above.
Yeah. Yeah. My bride, Jennifer, and I have been married for 13 years, celebrated April 17th. And then I've got four little girls.
While you were in Israel.
While I was in Israel. Oh. Yeah, that was a bummer. That was a bummer. But
I hope she took herself out for a nice dinner.
Yeah, she did. And she went away to Hume. She went to the women's
right.
retreat.
I saw her there.
Yeah,
good.
So she had a good time.
Yeah.
So that was a nice break for her. And I've got four little girls, mm-hmm. all under the age of 10. Cameron's 10. And then Addison is 8. Tessa, who I call Bulldog, is 6. And then little Sammy is 3.
How come you call her Bulldog?
Because I had four girls, and I needed to call one of them a boy's name.
Mm-hmm. Bulldog was it, huh?
That was it. Yep. Yeah, actually, if you watch the way she walks and her temperament, she definitely
Who's
has
your youngest?
Samantha.
So when you guys drove me home from the airport mm-hmm. yesterday, I don't know if you caught it, but your wife did. Literally, I sat in the car and Samantha started like crying and she's like, no, I don't want to talk. it was a real demoralizing thing for me. I was like, yeah,
don't
kids
feel
just
bad.
Me.
She treats me like that too sometimes. Right, she's by far our strongest willed child. And so when she doesn't like someone or like something, she'll just let you know. But
so
no guessing.
Yeah. It's like Jane. So same.
Christian?
No. Now, Chris, we spent 2 weeks in Israel, and Sarah has been to Israel, mm-hmm. so she can join in on the conversation. Jane,
I'll just sit here.
You can just sit there.
I think you should pretend like you were there and make up names of things like
I did today. So when we hiked Mount Gilathagu, really difficult because...
No, I understand. So I don't want to make you feel like you're the left
this is the
out
thing.
Party.
I'm going to think of three questions to ask you guys all about right. why I should go to Israel.
One yeah, day. And that's one of the reasons like why that. I wanted to bring Chris on. We're fresh off of Israel. Last year we had Sarah and Brad talk about Israel. Mm-hmm. And I think for now us experiencing it, I think it's going to be a good thing to just once a year, once every 6 months or whatever, just promote Israel and the fact that like if you go to the well, in my opinion, you should attend Israel, right?
If you're a Christian... If you read the Bible,
you should go to Israel.
I never understood that. They always said that, right? Every time right. somebody mm-hmm. come back, mm-hmm. Brad would make that big thing from the front, get your passports ready, here we go. Yeah. And I just didn't get it. And then you're there and you go, yeah, everybody's got to go. Everybody's got to experience it because your Bible is never read the same way. It just literally yeah. just little things just leap off the page at you know.
So maybe let's start with what were some highlights for you?
Man,
it's hard to do that. Yeah.
There's so many things. The whole trip was a highlight. I mean, everything right. about it just kind of built. I loved being in the desert.
Desert was great.
He and I actually rode a camel together.
Yeah. Ooh, we'll post a picture on our Instagram of some photos of me and Chris. Yeah.
Stay together. Uh-huh.
I will say it was funny watching the camel lift Brad up because it had to just struggle just
exactly.
a little bit. Got it.
Did you guys get like matching tattoos and stuff now that you're best friends?
Oh, we should have
gotten camel tattoos. Yeah,
that would have been so good.
It might be a little like a cigarette commercial,
like a Joe Camel yeah. thing. Yeah, probably not. Yeah. But yeah,
wait,
the
you
desert.
You guys were on the same camel.
We rode the same
but
camel.
How
yeah.
did Brad get his own camel?
He actually got one with a Hume Lake staff member. Yeah. But
which one?
Jen.
Jen Manley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Chris, you said you love the desert. Like, right. I totally agree. Like, yeah. it was funny because I was talking to Sarah today and she's like, I love Jerusalem.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, Jerusalem was all right. Yeah. But to me, like, desert was.
The desert was probably my, if I had to choose a least favorite, it would
I wonder if it's because of your guys' heat, if it ruined it. Because we had good weather.
Yeah, we didn't have bad weather at all the entire trip. In fact, the desert, everybody kept saying it was 100 outside. It never felt like that. It felt like, you know, 89 or so. Yeah.
But so in the desert, what would have been your favorite yeah. place out there?
I loved going out to the Bedouin camp and riding the camel. But yeah. honestly, probably my favorite day was when we did the three big ones. Where we did Masada, we went to En Gedi, and then we went to Qumran. En Gedi was a treat for me because... You know, I had done the Song of Solomon series that we'd done through the well, but I'd also gone through one with my bride that Mark Driscoll had done
okay.
called The Peasant Princess. Mm-hmm. And so he talks a little bit about En Gedi being a place of refuge, of being this, and talking about even within your home. Mm-hmm. So we had this concept of what it was like. And so to go there and hang out and see the springs and see the yeah. waterfalls and watch Rich jump into the water and, yeah. and get the opportunity to kind of participate mm-hmm. in that, that was neat. I even sent out some pictures today to another couple who had walked through that series with us, and they just responded back like, how cool were those pictures?
Yeah, I mean, did you guys go to En Gedi?
Mm-hmm. Can you, I was going to, for our listeners, can you explain yeah. what yeah. makes En Gedi different than
yeah.
any other site?
Yeah, yeah. You're out in the desert, so, I mean, it's barren. There's nothing there. You've got the Dead Sea, you've got the wilderness.
Like, not even trees. Like,
no,
there's nothing.
There's yeah. nothing. You just go for days, and it's just heat, and it's just barren. And then all of a sudden, you come to this area, and you start to see some trees popping up along the side of the road. Mm-hmm. And then you come to this place, and it's this canyon, and there's just growth everywhere.
Yeah.
There's trees, there's growth, there's water, and it's just this amazing sight, and it's literally in the middle of nowhere.
That's cool.
And what's cool is this is where David would have been mm-hmm. Basically running from Saul.
Right.
And so we get a lot of, you know, when David talks about like green pastures, you're like, it's not green out here. No. You know what I mean? And so you see that this is potentially where he would have been running in and out of caves and whatnot. And this is where he would have had his water source was right. most likely from this, this place. And so you're just like, you're hiking, you're hot. And all yeah. of a sudden you're just eyes get open because you're like, wow, there's water, there's yeah. waterfalls. It's beautiful. We all got to jump in.
Yeah. I mean, for Solomon too, is kind of a vacation getaway.
Totally.
As you read the Song of Solomon, you see that they're talking about that and that's their place where they kind of got away from everything, but we're still in a place that was full of beauty. And
yeah, yeah. I was telling Brad, my wife would argue that like the beach and nature and trees is some of the most beautiful things. But when we were in the desert and we went to NF Dot, mm-hmm. which was kind of that hike up and then you climb those ladders a little right. bit. Like to me, the living water message, that whole mm-hmm. thing, that was the most beautiful place we went to the whole time.
Yeah. And I think you just recognize as well that, the metaphor to the whole thing was, look, we walk through the desert sometimes in our lives, and yeah. those are the places where we really cry out to God. We depend on Him, and if He doesn't come through with water or food right. or any of those kind of things, you don't survive. And so that, having walked through a lot of spiritually desert times in my life, just to be able to kind of reflect on that and be reminded of God's provision and all of it,
right.
that's probably what was the most significant for me.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys remember like Mike's message last year is like talked about.
Oh yeah,
the desert and, yeah. and all the above. I mean, you're just there, and you it totally makes a lot of sense. And honestly, like you think about these, Moses and his people walking in the desert, and you're like, how were they there for 40 years? You know, yeah. it's like, this is unreal.
Well, yeah. And it's funny because the desert that they are wandering in for 40 years isn't that far from Jerusalem.
No.
Like really, right. it would have been a 2-week walk. And
it's not far from anything.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Israel right. is really small in general, right. but yeah. I mean, the Lord just led them around and around and around for 40 years yeah. when it could have taken 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just crazy.
You know what I really liked too was when we went to Arad and that we came
Arad.
To this. A rod. And we came to this place where there was this tree. It's called a tamarisk mm-hmm. tree.
Yeah,
and
that was one of my biggest highlights.
We totally went for it because it had all the shade, and so it was hot outside at the day. And so we're there, and Rich is telling us about it. And basically, in Genesis 21, you find that Abraham planted this tree. Well, as you find out about the tree, you realize that one, it produces like a sweet substance, kind of like a manna. Mm-hmm. So there's a sense that that was the manna that the children of Israel had while they were wandering the desert. But it also provides all kinds of shade and cooling. Well, he planted it, and that's all that the text says. Later, you find out that it actually only grows about 1 inch a year.
Right.
So it takes somewhere between 300 to 500 years to reach full growth. Well, why did he plant it? Well, he planted it because he knew one day that generations later, people would walk through that area and need food and need comfort mm-hmm. and need shelter. And so in a sense, he did it for future generations.
Yeah.
So it was a powerful reminder to me.
That,
even as
that
a
whole
daddy.
Thing. Yeah. That whole thing. I even talked about it the last night. I was yeah. like, that was a highlight for me because yeah. it reaffirmed everything I do with youth ministry.
Yeah,
and it's just
right.
like, man, pouring into that generation mm-hmm. that comes after you is huge.
Right.
And then we went to the Sea of Galilee.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Galilee, was that a highlight for you, Sarah?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, the Galilee where we stayed, unreal. It was like a sandals resort.
Yeah, it was.
Right?
Well, yeah, and I mean, we're literally on the shores of the Sea of Galilee.
Right.
So in the morning, I'd get up at about 5 a.m., and I'd walk down there, put my feet in the water, have my morning devotional, and watch the sun rise over Mount Arbel.
Yeah, and what was crazy was
we've
read the scripture of like, a city on a hill can't mm-hmm. be hidden or whatever. I mean, where we were sitting, you could see this city literally on mm-hmm. a hill, and you're like, yeah, of course you can't miss that. It's impossible right. to miss, and it's just mm-hmm. this beautiful sight.
What I loved most about that was that in most of the sites that we went to, they'd say like, oh, Jesus, we think Jesus mm-hmm. was here. We think this mm-hmm. happened here. But on the Sea of Galilee, there's no question. This is where it happened.
Yeah.
These right. are the waters that Jesus calmed, and it yep. wasn't a may or may not. Bleh, like it actually happened, and so that was really yeah. moving.
Chris and I both had this powerful experience when we were out on the boat,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and one of the Hume guys brought a CD player, and we just worshipped on the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah.
And man, like I got choked up, mm-hmm. and I was bummed that the devotion afterwards wasn't that great. But
yeah, he struggled through that yeah. one.
But the first part, man, I was like, Dude, that rocked me. It was super good.
Did you guys sing the national anthem?
We did.
We did, yeah.
I loved that. Yeah. But then I would tell people back home and they laughed. Like, why are you singing the national anthem on the Sea of Galilee? Like,
well, they also sang the Israeli national anthem. Yeah. So
That got me choked up. I don't know why.
Did it really?
Yeah.
She's proud to be an American.
Did you dance? Did you dance?
I love America, yes.
Yes, that was fun.
And then we kind of were on the Sea of Galilee for, man, we were there the longest. We were there for probably 5 days, right?
Yeah, 4 nights and 5 days.
I had this roommate. His name was Joey. And
he was your best friend on the trip.
I know Joey.
Joey Webb.
Yeah.
The nicest guy of all time.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Greatest guy.
Really nice guy. His wife's really nice.
So I'm going to ask you this honestly. At first, did you think like Joey and I were being mean to one another?
Well, you definitely couldn't tell whether you were best friends or you hated each other's guts because you really were kind of.
At one point, I told Joey.
Best friends of best friends.
Yeah, that's what Sarah and I do all the time.
Yeah, because I told Joey, I was like, dude, we might need to like cool it because I think Chris thinks we're like actually like not liking each other.
What were you guys doing?
We were just making fun of each other really bad. Like, pretty brutal, like making fun of one another.
That's some people's love language is teasing.
Like about your appearance or like, hey, you're really stupid. Or
well, Joey has like a pretty bad sweet tooth. Like he really liked candy and I would just rail on. Like Joey put lemonade in his camel pack. That's how badly he wanted.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Like sugar. And so I would make fun of him on the trail and Chris at 1 or 2 points was like, dude, is that real? Like, are you serious? Yeah. And I'm like, no, we're just joking. But I just want to make sure.
Joey, no,
did he make fun of you for being a vegetarian?
No, because he was a vegan.
That's right. Well, he was a vegan coming into the trip.
He was a vegan before the trip.
Yeah, exactly. And then he kind of gave in to the culture.
How long was he a vegan for?
He's been a vegan for like 4 months. And then he said, I'm going to take a 2-week break and then I'm going to go back to it. Because him and his firefighter buddies are being vegans together. So
the dude is a stick. Like he is the thinnest
super
guy.
Sweet and tall.
But he eats whatever he wants.
Yeah. So we happen to be roommates on Engev on the Sea of Galilee.
Right.
And man, we were just chatting one night and it's like, this is unreal that we get to do this, you know?
Right.
And I remember, I mean, Chris, how old are you? 37?
39.
So, I mean, honestly, you were still the youngest person there by a good 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, the people going to Israel are all 60, 70. This is a bucket list thing to them. This is the last thing they do before they call it quits, you know? And
before they kick the bucket.
That's right. Yeah.
Nah,
and so we're there and me and Joey were just chatting like, I mean, how unbelievable is that we get to do this? And, you know, Rich told Joey 1 year, like, you know what I did for the first whole year was just trying to figure out how can I get back here?
Yeah.
And I felt like that's what you and I both were trying to do the whole time.
When you guys were young enough to where you may go again one day, like with your wives or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I did was when we were at the Wailing Wall.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the Wailing Wall and you've got this opportunity there to write on a little piece of paper and then you fold it up and you can stick it into the wall like so many people have done.
Yeah.
I actually wrote on my piece of paper that I want to come back with my wife and 4 daughters.
Yeah.
And I wrote it in a particular place and then I stuck it in the wall and I took a picture. I put it in a very particular place on the wall right over by the divider between the women's side and the men's side.
Okay.
And then I took a picture of it. And so someday when I go back with my bride and 4 kids, we're going to go to the exact same spot and see if we can find that piece of paper.
Well, you and I were even chatting when they were baptizing kids in the Jordan. I was like, how amazing would it be to baptize your own children in the Jordan River?
Yeah, phenomenal.
So,
wow.
I was just telling Lacey, yes, it's hot. Yes, you walk a lot.
Yeah.
But you don't even care. Like while you're there, you just don't even notice. I mean, I didn't.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's really that amazing.
Yeah. I mean, because it was nonstop. I mean, we were up at, you know, I was up at almost.
You and I were both up at 5.
Yeah. Every morning. And we were busy all day long. And I never felt fatigue. And I never felt like, when is this going to end? And I never felt like, oh, I've had enough of this.
Because we had those Powerade fruit gels, dude. Those things kept me alive.
And those nut clusters.
The nut clusters were good,
Brad brought an entire bag full of food.
Oh my gosh.
Like an entire bag, this big and wide, and he had stuff all over the place. I've never seen Brad so generous.
Let me say this about Brad. Brad is a different dude in Israel. I mean, is that bad to say? He doesn't listen to this podcast. But like, Brad is, he doesn't have, I was trying to explain this to somebody, like he doesn't have the weight of the well on him.
Yeah.
And so Brad is just, he's what he's like around his family and 2 daughters when he's in Israel.
Right.
Because it's like,
he's free
to just be himself. And honestly, like, I love that because I think that, I was telling Lacey, Israel is great. tell you what, there's not many people that can say they got to spend 2 weeks with their senior pastor.
Right.
And that is an unbelievable experience that I think you and I both got.
Yeah, agreed.
And I'm so thankful for that. We had great conversations being roommates just in like leadership things in the car, great conversations. And I was like, man, Brad, love that guy.
Yeah.
Great guy to be around.
I had told people even prior to going, one of the things I was looking forward to was just the connection with people, like time with you, because our worlds don't collide a
Never
whole lot.
Mix, yeah,
yeah, we just don't spend a lot of time together. So I was looking forward to that. And then with Brad, and then just some of the people on the, you know, on the staff, because I went with Rich and
that's right,
and
you guys went up to Thailand, Thailand,
you know, back in the fall. So it was just a cool time to reconnect with them as well. Yeah. And guys like Joey and then Rich's brothers-in-law, they were
that was
were
great
cool guys
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think I told you guys what I was most nervous was about was your Brad and my personalities
right.
meshing because right. we're all just strong personalities. And I think we're like the greatest travelers together. Yeah. I told Lacey I couldn't have asked for two better guys to travel with.
Yeah.
And
this is sweet. This is great.
Jane, you want to get out of here?
She's barfing in the
yeah,
corner.
She is.
One thing before we kind of close it out is like, maybe let's talk a little bit about Jerusalem
yeah.
And our different experiences there. Yeah. Because my experience was, it was remarkable to see how brilliant Herod mm-hmm. was and how brilliant Hezekiah was or right. whatever. But in my opinion, I just felt like the Catholic Church, and I don't want to be mean to them or anything like that, it just took it over.
Yeah.
And it felt a little too holy for me, a little too gaudy for me. And I feel like they, and a lot of us talked about it, they missed like really what it's about, you
right.
know? Like Christ is in our hearts. He's not here. You know what I mean?
The best place that I think we saw in Jerusalem was we went to the Garden of the Tomb.
Yeah.
So there's a second location that a lot of the times that the trips that have gone to Israel have not been able to see, yeah. but it's yeah. right outside
you guys
the
didn't
wall.
Go?
No, I didn't go.
So it's a secondary place where they think maybe Christ was crucified and his tomb was there. And it's part of it is because there's a mountainside that looks like a skull,
Golgotha,
and
yeah.
it's an area that travelers would have gone by. So the Roman soldiers would have crucified people so that people would be aware mm-hmm. of, hey, you don't mess with Rome. So there's a lot of different reasons for it. But what was cool, it was this private little garden, but there were tons of people there. And so it was just less gaudy.
Yeah.
It was very beautiful, very natural.
We worshiped there, took communion
yeah,
there.
Yeah. And which was really cool in all of that is, so we're taking communion and singing the doxology. Over to the right is a group from Germany. Over to the left is a group from like, I think the Ukraine. Down at the bottom was a group from
Mexico
or something like that. Like literally everybody's speaking in different tongues.
But they're right? all worshiping.
But they're all worshiping
That's
and
like
taking
a
communion.
Picture of what heaven's yeah. going to be like.
Exactly.
It was a remarkable experience. Whether he was crucified or buried there
exactly,
or not,
yeah.
the experience alone was great.
Wow.
Now, what was your experience in the Holy Sepulcher?
In the Holy Sepulcher?
Yeah.
It was just really, really crowded.
Yeah.
That big slab of stone where they think that was part of the
Everybody's
rock. What did
kissing
they-
it.
What did they think that piece of
that
was?
Basically where was Jesus' body was prepared right. to
oh,
be
okay.
so that would have been where the nails would have been put in
yeah
correct
and that's mm-hmm. yeah, yeah so people were kissing that they're rubbing yeah. everything they owned on it to get holy so that I mean I didn't enjoy seeing that but just
right.
the idea of being where it happened that was
right.
really mm-hmm. that was moving for me and walking down the road where he carried his cross like
yeah the Via Della Rosa
just yeah that really really affected me because
yeah.
that's where he yeah. was killed for us so
now did you get to go to the Temple Mount
no
the top
no
so we went up there mm-hmm. which was cool and the one thing that I just realized is like I mean, that's owned by Islam, right? Like the Islam religion yeah. and Muslims.
Well,
are,
no, actually, Israel owns it, and
they've allowed
them to have that space because they know if they try to take it away from them, World War III will
yeah.
take place.
So it's all these little things where it's like, man, I just feel like there's so much angst, so much war, so much battle mm-hmm. going on about this place. Mm-hmm. And it's like, in my opinion, man, Christ is here in my heart. He's not here. You
right.
know what I mean? Yeah, this is a holy place. This is the temple. This mm-hmm. is where we'll be back here mm-hmm. one day. But like ultimately here on earth, this place mm-hmm. doesn't matter as much as
right.
our next door neighbor's mm-hmm. house and talking to them or whatever. You know what I mean? And so
I feel like Jerusalem also was really impactful for me because as soon as you enter the city, it's like you did a time warp. Mm-hmm. Because
totally.
All of the buildings are all, I mean, they're not all original, but they're so old and they look just like they did when Jesus was around. And so it's so easy for you to put yourself like there and imagine Jesus throwing people out of, you know, the the merchandise tables are outside of the temple, and it just, it's easy to just picture it all. And so that's, that was really cool.
One morning we went up to the Temple Mount and that was full of a bunch of, you know, tourists and things like that. Yeah. But they led us on a little path and we went into this garden and it was private. I remember asking Ronan later, how did we get in there? He goes, well, I know somebody who knows somebody who got us in there.
This was after the Mount of Olives.
At the Mount of Olives. Yeah. So we went to basically kind of the Garden of Gethsemane and it was private and there was nobody there. And we got like 30 minutes just kind of be in the word and pray and worship and journal a little bit. And it was cool because there wasn't a lot of noise or distraction. And so looking at the city and seeing it in its whole and recognizing that Christ would have been in a place like this at night with literally the weight of the world, all of mankind's sin on him, knowing that here comes, I see the lamps and the fires coming, here comes the soldiers to arrest me, knowing what's about to occur.
Right.
And in that moment, not my will, but your will be done. Like that was a powerful moment. Mm-hmm. And to see the city in all of its entirety was amazing.
Well, I think that's a good place to end it here because I think, Chris, you summed it up. I mean, I think it's you as a believer going to Israel, you get to see the gospel in its entirety. You get to see the Bible in its entirety. And there's this one point where we actually opened our Bibles and we ripped the page that said Old Testament out of it because it's no longer the Old Testament. Right. It's the Bible and it's all one story, all one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cohesive. Everything flows together and you only see that when you're there. Right. And so if you get a chance, just go to Israel. I think the trip in June is full, but Jane's going next June. So join her. And
That's awesome.
Yep.
I don't know.
All right. Up next, we got some announcements and then we'll close out the show. Thanks, Chris.
Jerusalem, if I forget you, fire no gun come from me tongue. Jerusalem, if I forget you, let my right hand forget what it's supposed to do. In the ancient days, we will return with no delay. Picking up the bounty and the spoils on our way. We've been traveling from state to state, and I don't understand what they say. 3,000 years with no place to be, and them want me to give up my milk and honey. Don't you see? It's not about the land or the sea, not the country, but the dwelling of His Majesty. Jerusalem, if I forget you, fire no gun come from me tongue. Jerusalem, if I forget you, let my right hand forget what it's supposed to do. Jerusalem, if I forget you.
All right, we are back. One quick thing. Did you guys notice that this past week we got an email with the Spoutcast promoted on it?
Yeah, we did. An all-church email.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why more people listen to the show than...
interesting correlation.
Way to discredit our talent.
Hey, one other quick thing to note before Sarah drops some announcement knowledge on us. Jane has some exciting news to talk about. We're going to talk about it. Jane is currently right now, as of today, she is our facilities. No, no, not facilities. Sorry. Our operations director.
Nope.
You talk about your title right now.
So my current title is I am the admin for the director of operations and director of campus support.
And Spoutcast aficionado.
Spoutcast extraordinaire. But I got off of work at 3, so I guess I'm an hour into not possessing that job anymore.
She got fired.
You got fired.
So,
yeah.
But Jane, you did get a new job. We still like you. She didn't get fired. She moved on to what is your new position now at the Well?
Yeah. I accepted a position. I am the North Campus Connections Director. So basically, my role on a Sunday is to get people who are new or unconnected connected. Mm-hmm. So whether that's helping them find a life group, helping them get on a ministry team, that is my role. And
yeah, so if you guys go to the North Campus, you will see Jane. If you ever have any questions at the North Campus, she will connect you.
I will connect you.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for you, Jane. I think it's great for you and your personality, and you get to move over to my side of the office.
I'm back to the desk I started at.
Yeah, so
almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, so I'm
happy. We'll miss you on our side of the office.
Sarah and I talked about how we won't be able to like just give each other like quick looks of like, oh, that was funny. But
I can see over our cubicle walls.
Yeah, we're going to just keep our video running on our iChat the whole day.
That's a good thing.
So we can know what we are looking like all day long.
All right, Sarah, give us some announcements.
Serve Day is happening right now. So if you don't know what that is, go to serveday.com. But Serve Day is spelled serve, D-E-I.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you said D-I-E. D-E-I. Day is also God in Latin. So we are moving from a concept of not just serving God for a day, for serve day, but serving God for as a lifestyle. So if you would like more information on that, go to the website. And Discovery is May 19th. If you'd like to get to know the church more, you can also sign up for Discovery online.
I'll be there.
Jane will be there because it's part of her job now.
Job Discovery.
Awesome. And we give you breakfast and lunch, and it's a good time. And next, this coming Sunday at 2 p.m. at the North Campus, we're having a WSM parents meeting. Correct, Christian?
That is correct, yeah. So if you're a parent of WSM students, you would want to come because we are making some big announcements. So please attend that meeting if you are a parent of student ministries. We'll also put it online. We'll videotape it, put it online.
Oh, cool.
One quick thing that we might want to just announce is that Cam, who was the North Campus director, she didn't leave her job. No,
she's not fired.
If you're like, what the heck happened to Cam? She was the greatest. Cam moved into, she is the connections director. So Wendy Mooney, who we interviewed a couple weeks ago about the counseling center, she moved full time to be counseling center. She's going to be a couple hours at the Well doing some pastoral care stuff. But Cam Avedikian, or Balici. You would know her as Cam Balici.
Because that's her name.
Yeah, she got married.
Some people might still think, oh, I don't know what her new last name is. Okay, sorry, I'm just going with both here. She is the now Well Community Church Campus Support Connections Director. So she is great in that role. So Jane moved into her role. A good
sure
fit.
Did.
So yep. Sarah, thanks for doing the announcements. You do a good job.
Thanks.
Yeah. I will say last week's This Is the Spout and We Are Out was pretty awful. So This Is the Spout and
We're
Out.
And we're out.
I thought it was the best. You didn't say what I was going to say, our email address, our Facebook address. I was going to tell people to write in.
Are we
still rolling? Well, I guess you just did that.
I thought you ended
we're
it.
Still
this
rolling.
Is the spot. We're out.
Sometimes I live under moon, I thank God I'm breathing, and I pray don't take me soon, cause I am here for reasons. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds,